I direct your attention to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, and to the well-known verses 28 and 29 and 30. That's on page 973 of the Church Bibles. Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. These three verses are often preached from, and usually they're preached in isolation. But as we look at the whole chapter, it gives us a slightly different complexion upon the verses that, if we take them, slightly different complexion from taking the verses in isolation. At the beginning of the chapter, the disciples of John the Baptist came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they asked the Lord Jesus Christ whether he was the one that should come. In other words, whether he was the Messiah. But the Lord didn't answer their question directly. He didn't say, yes, he was. He didn't say, no, he wasn't. He told them to go back and tell John the things that they had seen. In verse 5, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. What the Lord was saying to John's disciples, go and tell John these things, because you see, these things were only things that God could do. And if John, as he was a true prophet, a true disciple, he would recognize this. It would be a greater assurance to John than the Lord sending back and saying, yes, I am the Messiah. Because, to use an expression, the proof is in the pudding. There was the evidence there, not just words. But then we find, further on in the chapter, the Lord speaks about the people in that generation in which he was here on earth, but it also refers to all generations. He says, they're like children in the marketplace, or we would say children in the playground. And some of their friends are saying, come and play this game. We piped unto you, and you have not danced. Some of them were saying, come and play this game. And their friends were saying, no, we don't want to do that. And then they say, well, let's play this other game. And they say, no, we don't want to do that either. What was wrong with these children? Well, the point was, they wouldn't play any game. And what the Lord was really saying, the people then and the people today, many people today, they're like this. They won't repent. They won't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They will complain about one thing and they complained about another. And the Lord said, well, John the Baptist came. And he didn't wear ordinary clothes. He didn't drink alcohol. He didn't eat ordinary food. He ate locusts and wild honey. And they say, we can't accept this man. We can't believe this man. He's got a devil. And then the Lord Jesus Christ came along and he drank alcohol. He ate ordinary food, as you well know, that he went often to people's houses. Others invited him and he would go for a meal and he'd eat ordinary food. He wore ordinary clothes. And they said of him, he's gluttonous, a friend of publicans and sinners. And some people are like this today, and they've always been like this. They say, well, don't like that minister because he's too strict. Don't like that minister because he's too wide. Don't like this other one because of so-and-so, another one they don't like. But the issue is, it's not whether they like a particular minister or they don't like him. The issue is they don't repent and believe. They spend all their time complaining and they don't do what the gospel calls them to do, to repent and believe. They've got their theories. They think they're right. They're convinced that everybody else is wrong. And so it is with some. And then the Lord says, goes on in this chapter, and he speaks about these cities where his great works were done. I'll remind you of these works. Again from verse 5. Blind receive their sight, lame walk, lepers cleansed, deaf hear, dead are raised up, poor have the gospel preached to them. And these people, they saw all these things and they just weren't moved. It didn't make any impression upon them. They were self-satisfied. They didn't need a Messiah. They didn't need a Saviour. Well, they were living quite comfortable lives. These cities where the Lord's works were done were quite prosperous. Materially, they didn't need spiritual things. And then we come down to these verses where the Lord Jesus Christ says in verse 28 to 30, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord's talking to people that, to put it in common terminology, have messed up their lives. They're not people who are self-satisfied. They're not people who've got their own ideas and are criticising everyone else because they think they're right and everybody else is wrong. The Lord says he's talking to people that labour and are heavy laden. They're often depressed. Life is miserable for them. It's all gloom and dark and sad, all gloom, dark and sadness. Now, I think I ought to say that depression's not always caused by these things. Depression can be caused by when you're tired. It can be caused because you're unwell, because you have a multitude of troubles at any one time. But the people that the Lord are talking to, the main problem with them was sin was a great problem. We read in Psalm 38, the psalmist says in verse 6, I am troubled and bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day. satisfaction elude you if you're in this situation? Ever seeking, never finding. There's an emptiness about life. Pleasures and excitement, well, they never last. They're hollow. And as it says in Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanities, emptiness of emptiness. And yet there's a restlessness in your life. Never finding peace, but like the troubled sea, always churning and churning and churning. Never rest. There's never any rest. And life is hard. It leaves you tired. You seem to labour and strive and you're weary. Exhausted. Maybe in pain and suffering. Suffering remorse often. No energy. Just faint and feeble. And again, as we read in Psalm 38, verse 8, feeble and sore broken. And as I mentioned this morning, you can be a slave of these things. The Lord said, whosoever committeth sin is a servant or a slave of sin. Because usually you can't break with sin. You have a sense of double-mindedness, unsettled, labour under a sense of guilt and failure to improve. Maybe you make resolutions, New Year's resolutions, but resolutions other times that you would live a better life, you would do better things, but you always fail. Paul mentions this in Romans chapter 7. I cannot improve, but that which I do, I allow not. What I would do, rather, I do not. And the things that I hate, I do. You want to live better life. You want to do better things. And no matter however hard you strive, no matter however hard you labour, you can't improve. Or to use a everyday term, you can't pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And then there's the fear of death, which you dare not think about. It's the great bogey, the great elephant in the room, the dread of death. But the Lord not only says these people labour, but he says they're heavy laden. Fear fills such people when they think about God. Burdened with guilt and condemnation. Yes, you've made a mess of your life. The psalmist in Psalm 38 that we read again acknowledges this. Mine iniquities, he says, have gone over my head. They're enormous, the things that I've done wrong. And we cannot undo the past. And we cannot get rid of our burden of guilt. So we're like the pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress that John Bunyan wrote. We have a great burden on our back, a great burden of guilt. And because of all these things, we have to say that even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. And in mirth, there is heaviness. But you notice the Lord Jesus Christ says to these people, that have ruined their lives and messed up their lives, who can't undo the things they've done, who are burdened with guilt and have a fear and terror of God. The Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How can he promise rest to people like this? People that have really messed up. Well, the Son of God, God is one God, but he's three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the Son of God became a man. He came and lived here on earth among us. And we celebrate his coming when he was born in Bethlehem. We celebrated at Christmas, and he's called Emmanuel, God with us. He actually left heaven. He actually took a human body and lived on this earth and walked about like an ordinary man. He walked, he ate, he slept, he did all those things that we do apart from sin. But he not only lived on this earth, but he lived a perfect, holy life. A life that no one else has ever lived. A life without any defilement at all. He never sinned in motive, nor in thought, nor in word, nor in deed. Now I find that when I try and think about this, I can't imagine it. A perfect life. Never, ever one motive or thought, let alone word and deed, wrong. We all do things that are wrong, but he did not. He lived this holy and perfect life. But why did he live this life? He lived this life in order that the life that he lived might be imputed or reckoned as the life that those who trust in him lived. If you believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, if you repented and turned to him, that perfect life that he lived is credited to you. It's set to your account. However far you may be in debt because of your sin, his life is set and counted as your life. He's a substitute. His life is a substitute for your life. But your life, at the same time, is credited to him. And because we deserve death, because we deserve eternal death and eternal punishment, he died in our stead on Calvary's cross. He paid the penalty for billions of believers. He paid the penalty that billions of believers should have endured through all eternity. And in 4 hours, he paid the price. He suffered all that great weight of punishment that we should have endured. Such was his agony and suffering. Because it was so great, no man could look on it. And God the Father drew, as it were, the curtain over the sun. There were 4 hours darkness in which he endured the punishment for the sin of his people. And although these people had messed up their lives so radically, his life is counted for them if they believe in him. And the death that they should have died, he died on the cross as their substitute in their place. But because he is God, and because he's God who took a human body, he could endure this on the cross. No normal human being could have endured that punishment. Only God could have borne that weight that our sins incurred. But he did. He paid the price in full. There's nothing else to pay. You cannot add one thing to his work. And this is why he can promise rest. Because he did this for sinners, for people who are labouring under guilt, who are labouring under condemnation, who are heavy burdened with these things. But what is this rest that he gives? He will give peace of heart, peace to your heart, wisdom to direct your way, strength to do his will, righteousness to justify you, to justify your soul, an unspeakable, sweet rest. And you notice it says in verse 29, the end of verse 29, rest for your souls. This isn't just physical rest. You have a holiday, you take a day off from work or a day off from school and you have a rest. It's not physical rest like that. It's rest for your souls. It's peace with God. As it says in the Epistle to the Romans, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. No longer fearing God. But we're told that he delivers those who through fear of death are all their lifetime subject to bondage. But he removes that fear of death. Those that trust in him can die in peace. They do die in peace. Many die in triumph. Many die rejoicing in the Lord because they have peace. They have peace with God. And not only peace when they die, but they have peace with God while they're living here on this earth. But he also gives peace of mind. Not only peace with God, but the peace of God that passes all understanding. Quietness, rest, because of what he has done. And he calls you. He says, come unto me. He calls you this moment to receive his favour. The scriptures tell us, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But notice, he says, come unto me. Jesus calls you to himself. Come to me, he says. He's waiting for you. He's listening, ready to receive and bless you. But you're not with him at the present. You're somewhere else. But leave where you are and make your move. Go to him just as you are, and he will receive you. There's an old hymn. It says, all the fitness he requireth is to feel you in need of him. So go to him. And then it's not just a matter that the Lord Jesus calls you to go to him, but God has given instructions to us who are preachers of what we're to say to you. He's told us that we're to tell you that he's not against you, but he's calling. This is what God says in one place to those of us that preach. God says, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He doesn't take pleasure in sending people to hell. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his wicked way and live. Turn you, why will you die? And then the prophet Micah says this, who is a God like unto thee, who pardons iniquity? He pardons people, he pardons iniquity, and passes by transgression. He retains not his anger forever. He delights in mercy. He will turn again and have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou art cast all our sins into the depth of the sea. You see, he's a God of mercy. But he calls us to go to him. Come unto me, he says. Come unto me, all you that labour and are heavy laden. All you that have messed up in your lives. It may be that you look very respectable outwardly, but what are you like inside? Are you messed up inside? But nobody else knows it. But only you and God know it. Well, he says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Oh, may the Lord then grant that we may indeed make our move and turn to him, the God of salvation, the one who will receive us.